I'm Craig Wilson.
And I'm Duncan MacLeod.
This is Talk Central, episode 89 for Sunday, 14th July, 2013.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, the home of South Africa's best technology journalism. Look for us on Twitter at Tech Central.
On Google Plus at Plus Tech Central.
And on Facebook at Tech Central ZA.
On Talk Central this week, we talk Dina Pule's sacking, Eunice Karim's appointment, Telkom Mobile's price war, and FNB's banking website.
As always, we bring you the week's biggest winner and biggest loser, and Craig and I will pick our product or app of the week.
That's right, but first, we need to pay the bills. We'll be back in just a moment.
Get out there! Break him down!
Eyes on target! Locked and loaded!
Avoid false alarms and keep an eye on your business premises with Guardian Eye remote monitoring from Vox Telecom. We'll monitor your premises 24/7, utilizing your existing data link to keep costs down. You can remotely view and control access points from your smartphone or tablet. Guardian Eye from Vox Telecom, the visionary remote monitoring system for businesses. SMS your name to 31965 and we'll call you right back. Standard rates apply.
So welcome to Talk Central. I'm Duncan MacLeod. I'm here with Craig Wilson. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Duncan.
So a busy week. Dina Pule sacked.
Yes, so much news out of this week. And of course, the replacement announced, Eunice Karim. Big job ahead of him. Lots and lots of slack to pick up and projects to get rolling.
Fixing many of the projects that Dina Pule just didn't get around to.
Yes, exactly.
But I don't think particularly surprising. I think what perhaps is surprising about Dina Pule is that President Jacob Zuma actually took so long to get rid of her.
Indeed, I think that's the thing that surprised most people, was why the shuffle actually took so long. And as I know, you know, we've spoken about this before around the office. The thing is that even aside from the corruption scandals, the problem is on a purely performance basis, she didn't tick many of the boxes she was expected to during her, what is it, sort of 20-month tenure?
Cost us further delays in digital migration, digital TV migration.
We did know progress as a result also with Spectrum.
Picked a fight with Telkom.
Caused problems with the set-top boxes and migration to digital television. I mean, really, just a selection of not even underperformance, but just a lack of performance.
And this is before the ICT and DABA and all the other allegations that the Sunday Times has published over the past year into this particular minister.
Indeed. So, I mean, the thing too is, of course, the motivation. Many are saying, of course, that most of the reshuffling had more to do with Zuma trying to align his stars before the election.
It's all about Zuma's political survival. It always is about Zuma. With Zuma, it is always about political survival.
Indeed. But thankfully, it seems that Pule had not made herself indispensable to the president, and so was dispensed of.
Indeed. So we have a new minister. His name is Eunice Karim. He's not known outside the sector. He's been in active politics for a long time. In formal politics since after the first election in 1994. He's been an MP and has participated actively in many portfolio committees in Parliament, but he's never really had any experience, or he's had absolutely no experience of the ICT sector. So it's an interesting decision by Zuma to appoint him to this portfolio. Mm. The other interesting thing about him is that he's a member of the Politburo of the South African Communist Party.
Yes.
The DA has already expressed a great deal of concern or reservation about whether he's going to bring ideological baggage to play in the department.
Particularly when it comes to Telkom, of course.
Oh, Telkom, indeed. And in a sector that really thrives on openness and competition.
Indeed.
I think does worry that he's going to bring more of a statist approach, more of a government interference approach to the portfolio, which, as we know, we're well, Craig, from looking at interference by this department and by this ministry over the years, is not what we need.
Indeed, liberalisation, hands off, openness, and it's a fast moving sector too. And
sure,
we can't really afford to have the problem with the sector is people taking a long time to make decisions.
Yeah. I mean,
things need to happen really, really quickly, because in a year the whole landscape can shift, you know.
Yeah, and we need effective regulation, of course, as well. That's a cornerstone, of course, of liberalisation. You can't have an effective sector without proper regulation.
So, of course, fortunately, you will know all of these things, not only because one hopes that there are some good advisors in place, but because publications like ours are running, you know, stories saying, well, this is exactly what you need to do. Welcome, hello, nice to have you,
yes.
And here's the list of things to get started with.
Yes.
We ran a great piece this week, of course, with a comment from the DA's MP Marion Shin outlining exactly that and saying that these are the big issues. And these are the things that need looking at. So he certainly knows what needs to be done. But also, unfortunately, every time there is a handover, one does have to give the newcomer a few months to learn their way around, particularly as invariably they don't attend, at least not in the last four cases, to have any actual industry experience in the particular field. So we do have to give him a bit of time to get to find his feet, but within a couple of months, if things aren't happening, then I think the criticism will fly from the sector.
Sure. I've written my column on the subject that's published in the Sunday Times today. It's also available on Tech Central's website, looking at the challenges that he's facing. And I think possibly the most important thing he's going to have to balance is around the issue of spectrum and how to balance the need to create additional competition to drive down prices and also to give spectrum to companies that have the resources to build networks. And I think managing that balance is going to be extremely important. I think the previous minister was leaning towards the idea of not giving the incumbents access to spectrum at all, just opening up the market to new players. I'm not sure that's the right approach. At first, it looks like the best approach because it facilitates competition. But if those new players don't have resources, then they're not going to build the networks that consumers that are going to But, you know, the 4G networks are not going to expand to a national scope. I think finding the right balance there is really tricky, and I don't envy him his job in finding that balance. But he's going to have to lean heavily on experts in the industry, on advisors who are going to be able to advise him not just on that and other issues. So one really does hope that he gets a top quality advisor at his side, and that he doesn't employ someone like Dina Pule had in the form of Roy Kruger, who was just a loose cannon, was more interested in the sound of his own voice than actually coming up with sensible propositions for the sector and dealing with some of its issues. So while it is concerning that he has no experience in the sector, if he gets the right advisors around him,
absolutely,
then I think
we've seen this with all of the major sectors. I mean, it's really also down to the caliber of the advice and the caliber of the person.
Sure.
And at least on that front, so far the early reports have been good. People have suggested that he has a Protestant type work ethic.
Yeah,
and
that's good.
And you know, as we said too, unfortunately, given his predecessor's track record, performing vaguely competently or averagely would be an improvement from what we've seen of late.
That's true. And of course, that work ethic is important, because there's just so much that just needs to be done and tick the boxes ticked
and kept on top of
stuff that just needs to get done. And if we can get a minister who has a sense of urgency, and there was certainly no sense of urgency around Dina Pule, just an urgency to get things like digital migration and spectrum allocation done. I mean, those things should be
handled already.
They should be handled in the first 6 months that he's in the job.
Absolutely.
If he hasn't dealt with those two issues and made pronouncements on those two issues
by the end of this year,
then I'm afraid he's not working fast enough.
Indeed.
But anyway, it's going to be very, very interesting to watch how the department changes and how the sector changes under Yunus Karim. And one hopes that he isn't a placeholder appointment, of course, until the 2014 election.
Indeed, when it's been earmarked perhaps for someone else who's played their cards right.
Yes. Yeah.
The other thing, of course, is hopefully he'd be firm-handed and get the DOC back on track, because what we've seen there too is just a general mess. You know, Rosie Sekese, the Director General, was then suspended, then reinstated, but then had her powers curtailed, and it's really unclear actually at this stage what the situation is there. But the message seems to be clear, and that is that the DOC is massively dysfunctional. So at the moment, that's got to be another priority, is getting that department shipshape back up to full steam.
I don't know if Rosie Sekese is the right person for the job, for that DG job.
No, indeed.
But certainly, I think there needs to be a careful investigation, because that department needs a strong leader. And I think a leader with extensive experience in the private sector.
Sure.
And someone with strong management skills.
Yeah.
So it's a very politically charged environment. There are a lot of agendas.
Someone who can balance all of these.
Someone who can take charge and run the department efficiently and be a partner to the minister in getting the sector sorted out.
Indeed.
The other area that needs fixing, of course, is ICASA. There's been a lot of improvement at ICASA over the last couple of years, but it needs to be better resourced. And its independence needs to be upheld.
Indeed, it needs to really feel like it can make changes that stick and not have to bow to other pressures. The independent part of its name needs to be reinforced.
For sure. For sure. Anyway, let's move along. There was another major development this week, and that was a press conference held by Telkom Mobile on Thursday.
And a very pleasing one it was, wasn't it?
Certainly for consumers. I'm not sure how much good news it is for Telkom Mobile's competitors, though.
No, they're
unbelievably aggressive moves by Telkom Mobile. Let me just run through it in brief. They held the launch event in their parking lot at their offices in Centurion.
They made quite a show of it.
They did. They kind of turned their parking lot into a township sort of environment, complete with corner shop takeaway places and spaza shops and that sort of thing. No sign of Shabin, but then it was a morning launch. lots of traditional dances, and it was a real sort of, they put a lot of effort into it.
Yeah.
And they joked that it was also a cost-saving thing. They didn't go and hire out the Sandton Convention Centre or something for the launch. A lot cheaper to use their parking lot.
That's true.
They did a pretty good job of the launch. And
but most importantly were the actual numbers that came out of it, right?
Yeah, the very interesting move. It's a product called, I'm going to forget the name, Sim Sonke, that's right. Play on the I think it's a closer word, Sisonke. I'm going to get myself into trouble here.
Which is interesting too, of course, given Telkom's recent backtracking on the name Ata.
Ata.
That they want to play with these sort of African urban brand names or product names again.
Yes.
Considering they decided to abandon that last time. But anyway, about the product. Let's talk about the prices, because that's the exciting bit.
So, yeah, a number of things. First of all, this is Telkom Mobile only. It's Telkom Mobile network only, so it's not roaming on MTN. So,
right, it's the only way they have their own towers and their own coverage.
If you don't have Telkom Mobile coverage, then this deal's not for you. So if you live in a rural area, forget about it. It's really in the major urban centres. And even then, the coverage isn't 100% at this stage.
No, indeed.
So probably check the Telkom Mobile coverage map if you're thinking about taking up not one of these offers. It's Simsonke. It's the pricing that is really aggressive. So on-network calls are priced at 29 cents per minute on per second billing, which is by far the cheapest rate we've ever seen in this market.
Indeed.
That's for on-network calls. So the interesting thing is that when you buy a starter pack, they give you two SIMs in the starter pack. So it's quite a clever strategy.
It is, yeah.
So you give one SIM to the person you call the most, and then you can enjoy calls between each other for 29 cents. Now, if you recharge with an amount, I think it's a between 5 rand and 20 rand, if I remember correctly.
That's right, yeah.
You then get free calls from 9 p.m. to 6 p.m. that night, 6 a.m. the following morning.
On net calls, yeah.
Is it on net calls only?
Yes,
it is on net calls only, that's right. And then if you recharge with 20 rand or more, you get 7 days of calls, free calls for on net calls for...
Between 9 p.m.
and 6 a.m. A very aggressive strategy.
Particularly the 9 p.m. side of that. You know, we've seen these sort of after hours...
1 a.m. to 5 a.m.
specials, exactly, from one operator in particular that runs in the very wee hours of the morning. But I mean, 9 p.m., particularly for students and the that's a very reasonable time. I mean, I remember growing up in my house, 9 p.m. was the cutoff for incoming landline calls. But I think that really makes that a useful offer. And as you said, the dual SIM thing is really interesting.
Clever.
It is great, and of course encourages the other person to then use the network as well. I wonder, did they say anything about the Rika implications of recurring two SIMs and then one of them being given to another person?
Oh, that's a good question. They right? didn't. They
who isn't
say...
the person whose details are on the Rika form?
That's a good question.
It's very interesting that. Yeah. Anyway.
I presume the idea is that you would give them the SIM to someone and then they'd go and recur it.
And then they'd have to go and recur it, yeah.
One does wonder how it would work in practice, indeed. It's an interesting move by Telkom Mobile. The other rate that's particularly interesting is the rate to other mobile networks and to Telkom and the
fixed line, yeah.
And that's set at 75 cents a minute, which is extremely aggressive.
And as you said, importantly, that 75 cents a minute is billed per second.
Yeah, that's on per second billing from the first second.
And that's the enormous difference too, because we've also seen other operators attempt to bamboozle us with supposedly cheaper rates that turn out to be per minute. And really, as we said before too, I think per minute billing is the sort of thing that ICASA should simply outlaw. You just shouldn't be allowed to do per minute billing because it misleads consumers. Yeah?
But there's no doubt that this is the cheapest rate in the market now. I think the previous low rate in the market was the 99 cents from Cell C.
Indeed.
Which was then, it hasn't been matched by the other operators. It was briefly matched by Vodacom, if I'm not mistaken.
But their effective rate worked out to be, and then the effective rate on their other special worked out to be higher because it was per minute billing.
So yeah,
it's definitely the cheapest rate. They can say that with pride.
Yeah, indeed. And I'm sure they will be marketing that quite aggressively. And it's a clever strategy by Telkom because they've got an empty network, particularly this nighttime calling thing. Mm. I mean, no one's using the network at night, and sure. So they can afford to do this. Their competitors can't afford to react.
No.
Vodacom can't come along and say, well, okay, we'll offer all our customers free on their calls after 9 p.m.
Sure.
Because their network will fall over.
Handle it, yeah.
So it's a smart strategy. It looks like a smart strategy by Telkom. I just hope that they've crunched the numbers properly and figured out that they can do this profitably. They said at the launch this morning, and they emphasized at the launch this morning, that they have done that and they will make a profit out of this product. But it's going to be razor-thin margins.
Sure, but more importantly, I also hope that they figure out how to market it properly, because that's what we saw happen with Ater as well. Ater's hit the ground running, had a great selection of great offers, assuming, again, with the same caveats, assuming you were in coverage areas and so on. But, you know, great aggressive data pricing and all sorts of packages that looked really, really good, and then they just went quiet. And suddenly the marketing dried up. Yeah. We didn't see very much from them. And really, this sort of thing, you and I were talking about it earlier, is about maintaining momentum and also about constantly driving home those benefits of porting, because people don't want to move. You really, really have to make it appealing if you're going to get people to switch networks.
Mm.
And so I think what I'm going to be really watching is just how aggressively Telkom Mobile markets this.
Yeah, sure. Well, at the bottom end of the market where this is really targeted, I mean, this is targeted at the mass black market, probably LSM 3 to 6.
Are very, very aware of how the pricing sort of structures work.
For sure. And I think porting is less of an issue to that market. I think if that market just tends to migrate and get a new number.
Sure, exactly. Never mind number porting, exactly. Sure. Just get a new SIM and a new number.
Sure.
Anyway, good news. Let's wish them luck. As you said, it'll be interesting to see what it does to their bottom line in the next big set of results.
And how the competitors react. I think this is possibly going to have the biggest impact on Cell C, which has been the most aggressive and playing in the price game. MTN and Vodacom have been playing in price, but less so than Cell C.
And they've been far more reactive, right? They've only really responded when, particularly MTN, has only really responded when its hand has been forced. I suspect that's what we're going to see again, frankly. I think the operators are going to sit back for a couple of weeks. And as you said, they've all got these, they have very, very good real-time analytics. I think unless they notice a change, I wouldn't expect a reaction before then.
Mm. But as the third biggest player in the market, I think Cell C, which has been aggressive on price, has the most to lose here.
And they've
been aggressively trying to drive up their market share, and one wonders whether this is going to have an impact or who's going to stop that market share gain.
Exactly. Just like Ater, Telkom Mobile, they're in exactly the same boat, Cell C. So they're certainly the ones who are going to be most threatened by it.
Yeah. Well, the worry, of course, is that both Telkom Mobile and Cell C fail, and that we're left with Vodacom and MTN at the end of the day.
But yes. Although at least at this rate, we'd be left with Vodacom and MTN with slightly better pricing than we came in with.
Sure. Although if it comes to it, I'm sure Orange would be very happy to step in and buy out one of these companies.
That's also true.
Pick up the fight with the bigger players.
Right? Yes.
Anyway, we're going to watch that one closely. I just wanted to say one more thing about Telkom Mobile. It really comes after Telkom's results presentation recently, where we saw that there was a real problem with Telkom Mobile's subscriber growth. They say they were getting rid of a lot of rubbish customers on their books.
Sure.
But still, it must be a real concern that they're not, as the smallest player in the market, they haven't grown strongly over the past year. In terms of subscriber numbers and market share,
indeed.
So that must have been played a big role in contributing factor in today's announcement, or Thursday's announcement rather.
Sure.
Cool. I think just to wrap up the news this week, very briefly, Craig, you went to a press conference on Thursday morning to take a look at FNB's new online banking website. What does it look like?
Indeed. So the interesting thing here is what they've done is they've built a very minimalist, very flat design. Revamp of their existing website, which really hasn't been touched in years. And this is all right, I think, because in the time in between, they've worked really hard at bringing transactional banking apps to market. But what's interesting about this revamped version of the website is they've opted to make it scalable and responsive to different formats, so that if you wish to, for example, log into proper internet banking from your smartphone or your tablet, as opposed to using the app, say in instances where there's something you want to do that you can't do on the app, like trade shares or something like that, you can actually use the full internet banking service now on any mobile device. And I think that's a great and innovative move. And of course, we've come to expect novel things from FNB. on the whole, the site is much slicker, a lot of sort of, you know, animated menus, and it also sees them planning for the future. You can see that the idea here is that as they add new products and services, they'll be able to slot them in very easily and without having to do major redesigns to the site. You can see things like the main menu that pulls out of the left-hand side. You know, there's sort of space there to add things. And I think they've also tried to revamp it so that people have a better idea of all of the things that they offer. You know, there are a lot of instances where they said people are using the online banking, but they're only using a fraction of the functionality. They're just using it to do, you know, transfers or whatever. And of course, they want you to be opening share accounts, trading accounts, and this sort of thing. So, it's a great revamp. It's welcome, and it looks like it'll position them well for anything else they want to bring to market.
Good. Well, let's move right along. We are running out of time. I think very quickly our winner and loser of the week, we'll cover them quickly because they've both been in the news.
And we've both talked about them already.
We have indeed. So our winner this week is Telkom Mobile for really having the cojones to be aggressive in the mobile market. I think it is overdue, and I think it's a strategy that they need to adopt if they're going to gain market share. So well done to Telkom Mobile for being so aggressive. And then our loser this week is obviously Dina Pule. She we've touched on it already. So she's our loser of the week. You are the weakest link, Dina. Goodbye. Our Apple products of the week. Before we sign off, Craig, do you want to pick up yours first? What's your app?
Sure, mine's really easy. It came out on Thursday. It's called If This Then That, or you can find it as IFTTT. Some people will probably know it. I've been using it as a web service for a long time now, at least a year, maybe a year and a half. And basically, it's like scripting, but for the average Joe like me who doesn't actually know much about coding. The idea is that you can link disparate services together and get them to play nicely together. So you can do things like you can get, for example, every time you take a photo on Instagram, you can ask it to save a copy to your Dropbox folder. Or you can do more complex things, like if you use tasks on iOS, every time you complete a task, you can get If This Then That to automatically add an item to your calendar on that day saying that you completed that task. And really, it's just about linking different programs together and allowing them to do useful things automatically without human intervention. I find it very useful. I know some people also use them to automatically post things to Tumblrs based on tags or that sort of thing. Anyway, it's a great little app, and it's available for free in the Apple App Store.
Cool. It sounds very good. I'm going to take a look at the website after the show. My pick this week, in fact, I've got two picks this week, and they're really for beer lovers, especially if you like craft beer, and there's a really a growing craft beer industry in South Africa. Breweries popping up all over the place.
And in garages too. So many people I know are now making their own beer at home.
In their bathtubs, yes.
Yes, exactly.
But two cool little apps. So one is called My Beer. It's developed by a good friend of ours, Andy Hadfield. Worth checking out. Sponsored by SAB. They've got mainstream beers and a lot of craft beers in there. Go take a look at that. And another app which I really like is something called My Beercraft. If you search one word for that in either the iOS or Android Play Store, that'll pop up. Both apps are available for Apple devices and for Android devices. And if you're a beer lover, well worth checking out. So go and take a look at that.
Fantastic. I'll go and have a look at those after the show.
Excellent. Well, that's all the time we have for this week. As always, if you've got any feedback on the show, you can send us an email at info@techcentral.co.za, or you can leave a comment under the post. Until next time, from Craig and myself, Duncan, cheers.